Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. We go to Canada, to Ottawa, to Charles Burton, who's been our guide on the Chinese Communist Party. He has the language. He has the ear for many years because there is disorder in the land. All is not well in the kingdom by the sea. Reuters, this is Reuters reporting, not an aggressive publication. Hong Kong activist challenges China's Tiananmen taboo from exile in Taiwan. This is a man named Fu Tong and his wife Elaine To, first demonstrators in Hong Kong to be charged with rioting in 2020. After leaving for Taiwan, Fu continued his activism, writes Reuters, now preparing to mark this year's anniversary of Tiananmen, the crackdown by on protesters June 4th, 1989. Fu has co-hosted a Hong Kong human rights exhibition in Taipei, showcasing artwork from the protest movement, and leads guided tours of the displays. Charles, I stopped there. I thought the Chinese Communist Party knew how to take care of this sort of dissent. They would send somebody around to beat him up. They would threaten his family in China. And they would otherwise wreck his life, especially digitally. What's happened? Are they slipping, Charles? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening. I mean, I'm surprised that doesn't happen. But, I mean, after all, the annual June 4th demonstrations in Hong Kong that occurred up to the Hong Kong passing of the national security law, which caused things to happen in Hong Kong, which were exactly what the June 4th demonstrations were hoping would not occur in Hong Kong, attracted, I don't know, a couple of million people. So, you know, there are an awful lot of people in Hong Kong who, for whom the Tiananmen 1989 massacre is a very important and of a great concern. And now that, you know, Hong Kong is now really become like China became after Tiananmen, I guess there are a lot of people who take particular concern over the Tiananmen incident as a signal event in the tragedy that Hong Kong is today.
That was then, this is now. So let's bring it up to date, Charles. Is there dissent in the land, or is Reuters exaggerating? And where do you see the dissent from the disorder of the economy to the brutality towards voices towards the collapse of the housing market, towards all the promises being broken? Where's the dissent being expressed?
Well, I think that really it's focused on Xi Jinping individually. I mean, as a Chinese emperor figure, he should be ruling by wisdom and virtue and maintaining harmony in the land. And under Mr. Xi, there is disorder under heaven. As you say, people make investments in housing that's never built. The rate of youth unemployment is perhaps 25%. And now Chinese parents who sent their children to study in the United States are finding that their children's future will be ruined by the United States not renewing their visas and causing them to return to China without the degree that they'd expected. All of these things are blamed on Mr. Xi's inability to maintain stability and order in the country. And, you know, because Mr. Xi did not come into power based on a universal franchise of people who voted for him, then there really is no outlet for people except discontent at Mr. Xi's rule. And his other policies, you know, the ones that are designed to maintain the Stalinist basis of society, which is restricting private enterprise and imprisoning successful entrepreneurs, is all part of the same So I think that there is a great deal of malaise in the land. A lot of young people have more or less given up what they call lying flat. And I think there's terrific outflow of capital and outflow of talented people from China. And all of this falls on Mr. Xi's head. So how much longer Mr. Xi can sustain in power when there's such a consensus that he has not been fulfilling the mandate of heaven given to emperors in a righteous way remains to be seen. But we certainly see a lot of small indications that there is opposition to Mr. Xi's rule, which is expressing itself in, you know, him not appearing on the front page of the newspaper, the military newspaper praising the idea of collective leadership, and that's certainly not Mr. Xi, and other expressions which just suggest that people are no longer buying into what he's offering ideologically, domestically, and internationally.
Gordon, momentarily, your thoughts. Xi is a princeling, the son of an original party boss. His father, Xi, also Zhang Shan, joined the party in 1926 and was an intimate of Mao and Zhang and Zhou and Deng and others. Oppressed, he was purged, he was reunited. He lived out his life. He lived quite elderly, I think, into the 21st century. But that makes Xi a princeling. So this disorder that Charles refers to eloquently, is this just about Xi, or is it about the princeling generation that took over and is now ruling with an iron hand?
It's about Xi himself, because although, you know, he is part of a very privileged segment of Chinese society, he is in very many ways a revolutionary. He wants to go back to something that approximates the 1950s. He's been closing China off. He has been pressuring domestic private entrepreneurs and, of course, the foreigners. And he's been emphasizing a very insular China. That has not worked out very well over the last several years, and people are blaming him. And that's why we're seeing all of these manifestations of extreme elite discontent with Xi Jinping. As Charles intimated, when it comes to the military, we can corroborate that many of these instances of discontent, to the extent that Xi Jinping probably has lost control of the Chinese military, the most powerful faction in the Communist Party. We are hearing similar rumors with regard to the civilian discontent with Xi Jinping, although there is not as much corroboration. But this is a very dangerous, I think, time for Xi Jinping, which means it's a very dangerous time for the rest of the world.
You have a question for Charles.
Charles, just your comments on that.
Yes, I think so. I think that what we have to look at are the elders of the regime. You know, in China, there's great respect for senior people, even if they're of great age. And if they start to turn against Mr. Xi, then I think that would be game over for him. There are some indications that the elders are trying to rally some force to induce Mr. Xi to step aside. But, you know, most of them are very old. The former Premier Zhu Rongji is 96. There's a relatively young vice president who worked for Jiang Zemin, Zeng Jinghong, who is 85. Li Ruihuan, who was the head of the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, is 90. But they're all people who, if they spoke out, could start the process of a change in the way the Chinese Communist Party functions, or indeed a collapse of the Chinese Communist Party if people are not prepared to see another a continuation of a Leninist Stalinist system that's working so badly. And I think we have to give President Trump a lot of credit for shaking up the system by simply saying that we're not going to put up with the dissembling and unfair practices that your government has been engaging in internationally, and you better change or things will get much worse for the Chinese economy.
A quick history of what I know and what I've read, which is nowhere close to what is adequate. But in any event, the Great Leap Forward was a catastrophe of starvation and want and self-accusation around the country. And Mao Zedong, the original revolutionary, responded to criticism by launching the Red Guard, by creating the Cultural Revolution, which was even more brutal and scars the nation till today. Is it credible that she would follow the example, having come under derision for the Belt and Road or 2025, all the failures of his policy thinking, that he can launch an even more severe transformation of the society to punish them?
Well, I think the example of the Great Leap Forward, which, you know, was a famine that something like perhaps as many as 40 million souls were lost out of a population of 600 million at the time, due strictly to wrong-headed policies initiated by Chairman Mao and his inability to listen to scientists about the impact of, you know, trying to triple crop where they'd previously double cropped, and trying to make steel out of pig iron and planting wheat where barley grew, and so on and so on and so on. The communization of agriculture that removed incentives for productivity, that kind of thing. Chairman Mao temporarily was reduced in his powers. And then about 3 years later, he came back and launched the ideological campaign that was the Cultural Revolution, which led really to the demise of belief in the ideology and what they refer to as the glorious prospect of communism. You know, I don't think that anyone thought that Mr. Xi could sustain forever. I mean, at least from my point of view, when he started to adopt these revision to the 1950s policies that Gordon refers to, a restoration of Leninist norms, the planned economy, strict control over society, one knew that, at least I knew that this would not sustain, and that we'd get the situation we appear to be getting now. It was always a stalling tactic to try and stave off the collapse of the Chinese Communist Party, which appeared to be underway before Mr. Xi came in 2012. We thought that he would be a reformer that would continue this process. We didn't know that he would become a dictator and brutal ruler, comparable to the terrible dictators of the 20th century and the terrible emperors of Chinese history. But, you know, that's what's happened. But his days are numbered. They cannot sustain a system which is so out of sync with modern technology and modern norms.
We're speaking with Charles Burton of the Synopsis Institute. He's in Ottawa, Canada. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. When we come back, what is to be done, if anything is to be done, outside of mainland China, outside of the Chinese people who are now suffering with the brutality of the regime?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.